What's up, friends? Welcome to another episode of the Radical Middle Podcast, where we embrace tension and talk about the things that you wish your church talked about. I'm your host, Tommy Nixon. And as always, I'm here with my man, Freddie Romero. Welcome, brother. Okay, I got a question for us today. Because I know a lot of people are struggling with this. Should you go to church? Should you go to church? Do you go to church?
I go to church.
Yeah, because you get paid to go to church. That's why.
I go to church. I mean, that's a good motivator.
Yeah.
that's a good motivator for sure.
Just so you guys know, Freddie is a pastor, right? And so he's a professional.
Yeah.
You're a professional churchgoer.
Yeah, yeah. It's part of the requirements. but bro, this is a question that we keep getting asked a lot, and that leaders in urban spaces are being asked by their students, the people they lead, should I go to church? And Barna research, man, I just had to pull this up in talking about millennials and this new shifting that's happened after the pandemic. It says that 39% of millennials are most likely to church hop because they're looking for a space. 26% of them feel like online experiences is enough for them. So we can define that as well. And then 24% say that they have altogether dropped out of going to church and have just pursuing a spiritual relationship with Jesus. And so that's the millennial trend. The Gen Zers have completely dropped out, it seems, and the boomers as well. They are embracing hybrid church attendance.
Wait, boomers are?
Yes, sir. According to this article from Barna Research from 8 months ago, it says that boomers are embracing hybrid church attendance. It says an increase in their attendance during the pandemic went up to 31%, but it decreased back down to 25% in 2022.
So, wow, dude.
Yeah, boomers are trying.
I mean, I thought boomers were the only thing that was keeping it alive and afloat.
They kind of are, but it's just it looks like it's a situation across the board. People are asking this question: the importance of church, the value of going to church, etc.
So here's my problem. All right. The problem for me is in the question. It's like, should I go to church? I think a lot of my friends, my generation, a lot of people I know, they're basically like, nah. I have seen a little bit of an uptick where people are like, I should probably get back, or they're starting to look for something where it's like, but I don't know if the loss they feel is the event piece. So here's my problem with it. My problem with this idea of should I go to church is with the word go. It's like, because like, think about it, man. We go to the movies, we go to the show, we go to the baseball game or the football game. Like we're going to an event. And so the whole paradigm is based on this thing. Like I got to go as a consumer.
Yeah.
I hope the game's good. Mm-hmm. I hope the fight's good. I hope the movie's good. So I showing up and I'm like, I hope the church service is good.
Yeah.
And then by and large, it hasn't been. So why should I go?
Yeah, it's been that trend for a minute, you know, with new church plants coming up and the availability of research. There are ways that you can plant a church that will almost guarantee a certain number by X amount of years, right? As long as you have this program at this caliber and you invest in this ministry from the get-go and you have these amenities for your church members, you will be able to sustain or grow, right? There's a certain formula that, you know, Western churches, if applied, will contribute to growth. I think because of that, it's created an arms race, sort of a cold war in and of itself between churches, where we're now, instead of going out there and fulfilling the Great Commission, where it's reaching the whole world, the lost, the unchurched, the de-church, we're competing for church goers.
Yeah, yeah.
We're trying to up our amenity game, and we're trying to up, you know, our music or our environment, our customer service, if you will, so that people would choose our church instead of the church down the street.
I know. So that's my problem, is like it's the whole system that's messed up, because I just go, what's the point? Because I, okay, on the real, I would come to the similar conclusion that a lot of people that I know that have chosen not to be a part of a church anymore, like an institutional church. And you know, that whole thing, you're like, I'm just going to focus on my relationship with Jesus, right? I understand how you get there. Mm. If the paradigm is I'm just supposed to go and I'm supposed to receive something from it. And if I think that whole system is BS, then yeah, I don't need it, right? The problem I got is if I just go back to scripture, then I'm going like, well, Jesus, the body of Christ is the church. So it's not the institution. It's not obviously the building or even the service. It's this group of people. And so I would wrestle with, instead of going to church, like, what does it look for us to gather? And the gathering part can look like so many different ways, right? But the idea of gathering, right? Like Hebrews 10, right? It's like, hey, don't stop gathering. Like, don't stop coming together. And that can look like so many different ways, yeah. But what does it look like for me to be an active part of saying, I'm committed to this way of Jesus. You're committed to this way of Jesus. We're going to commit to each other to walk this way of Jesus together for a certain amount of time or however long God has us here, unless I move or whatever. But that's not what it's based on.
No.
Because if you have, honestly, if you have a church that's over, 100?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you even, like, you can't even walk with that. Like,
yeah, if you're a pastor?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, small groups and all that kind of stuff. But so I get it, man.
Yeah.
You shouldn't go to church.
Yeah.
You should gather.
Yeah.
Right? But I also think it's an excuse for people to be like, I just don't even want to try anymore.
Oh, for sure. I think that there is... I'm so glad you brought that point. I think there is an element of people not wanting accountability and not wanting to submit, because following Jesus is evident in your fruit, right? Is evident in your lifestyle, is evident in the choices that you make. Having faith in Jesus and believing Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus is not behavior modification, but your behavior will be modified by the transformation, that transformation that happens within you. And I think that being in a community and being a part of a gathering, being a part of a church, like, forces you to be accountable to that, because yeah. I mean, Tommy, you come into this community and you are you know, you're very insensitive, you know, you don't respect people, your opinion above all people. I'm sure you're not like that.
I feel exposed. I feel seen.
That's part of it, right? When we are around people, those aspects of it, when we do life with people, genuine life with people, those aspects of our life are exposed. And so I think for some people, they want the Jesus, you know, and they want that spiritual high, but they don't want the accountability that comes with being a part of a community.
Well, I mean, I think that's where it gets played out. Like, if you are actually about this life, like, you actually want to grow with Jesus, you don't want to just play the church game or the religious game, or you're just looking for community. Like, are you, one, committed? And I think that's what people are reckoning. They're like, I don't know if I am.
Right.
And I go, okay. Now, that's been sad to me. It's been heartbreaking to watch my friends and people I love just kind of be like, nah. Because I'm like, oh man, what did you actually sign up for? And I can blame some of the church on that too. Mm. I think you switched it up on them and you told them it was about this and that. And it wasn't about the commitment to Christ. But so if I'm all in on Jesus, the church is a part of that. I got to reconcile that. And then I've got to actually help to make it better, right? So there's all that stuff on the internet, right? Like about you are the culmination of the six people that you hang around, whatever right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you have to gather with the church and you got to be in relationship, if you're going to grow with Jesus, like, you can't do it without that.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. Now, can you do it outside of the ways that we have services and stuff? I think so.
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
But what are the core elements that you really need? Well, you need scripture. You need other believers. You need those who are more mature than you, and you need those who are still growing and learning. And you come together and you work through that. You need prayer. You need, and then you need mission. Like, we're on mission. Like, what is God's up to something in the world? How are we joining in on that as we're working out our faith and belief? I feel like that can be a lot of different ways.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the frustrating things about the pandemic and being a pastor, I'm repping Revive today.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the frustrations was here in California, maybe not around the, you know, in places like Texas and stuff where they didn't go through a pandemic. They weren't shut down like we were shut down here. Exactly, you know. But being here and not having church services inside a church building, we got a lot of calls from people just like, hey, when are we going to open back up? When are we going to open back up? I need the church. And then we wanted to kind of phase it back in because we really wanted to double down on small groups.
Yeah.
And strengthen those. And for the most part, some of those small group communities that said, hey, we're going to commit to Jesus. Yeah. And committing to Jesus means submitting to community, regardless of whether Sundays are available for us at a church building. And they did that very well. And we've seen the growth in spiritual maturity in those people. But there was a segment of people who just kept asking, like, hey, when are we going to reopen? When are we going to reopen? Man, I miss it. We opened up. And those were the people I expected that the moment we would open up would come to church every Sunday, serve every Sunday, you know, and like their church attendance is like once a month, twice a month. It's like what we used to have. And so I realized immediately that we just want the option to come to church.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? We just want the option to say, hey, I want to decide when I want to gather and when I don't want to gather.
But this is what bothers me, dude. This is the system that bothers me. It's because, dude, you want the whole church. These people that don't get paid that much, honestly, that's a whole nother segment. Like, we could talk about pastors' pay and all that. But that don't get paid that much or volunteering, you want them to go through all this work for you to have the option, maybe you'll show up.
Right.
And I'm just like, so from planning a church and leading a church at one point and doing that for a number of years, I'm like, that's just like, it's just such an ugly thing. It makes sense if we're a business and it's like, hey man, like,
that's it.
Hey, do you have the options? What do you have on your menu? Like, how come you should offer this too? Well, are you going to come and buy it? Maybe. Like, oh, okay. And so we run like businesses.
Right.
But we say we're like families.
Right.
And that's confusing.
What were some of the temptations when you planted church? Were there any temptations to try to keep up with the Joneses, right? With other churches and other ministries that offered more things than you for its members? What were some of those temptations? And if you didn't struggle with them, why?
Yeah, so we actually tried to do our church plant different. We were like the anti, like, church growth model.
Right.
So we didn't build it off of my giftings. We spread things around. We had different people teach. We really like minimized like certain authorities and things like that. Some of that honor culture stuff, right?
Yeah.
But here's the other side of that. I also understood why people, why they do it that way.
Yeah.
Because they're like, look, man, if you want to grow a church and church plant, you got to be get the dynamic speaker, got to have a great children's program, you got to have dope worship. Right.
That's the trifecta.
Right. Because then you walk in, you have an amazing experience. You're like, wow, people took care of my kids. I got to sit and experience God through this experience. And that guy was really good at speaking. Oof. And so then I got to do it so that you come back. We didn't do that. And here's what made it hard. We didn't grow that much.
Right.
And we were okay with that.
Yeah.
We wanted to grow deeper. But there was a part of it, though, too, where it's like, well, then you didn't have as much money come in. So right. None of us worked full time there. So we...
Yeah.
So I understand it. I just don't agree with it.
No, yeah. The temptation, I mean, I do sympathize and have empathy for those young pastors that feel a tugging from God to plant a church. And then they go to older people who have created these systems.
Right.
And they are now putting the pressure on them. Like, you know, a lot of these young planters are going to guys and women who are 10, 15, 20, 25 years in ministry, and they're asking them, hey, how do you grow a church? Or how do you, like, you have a church this size, how did you get it there? And these older ministers are giving them advice on their now, not on what they did then.
Right, right.
And so, like, young planters feel like year one, they have to have the best worship team. They got to have the best children's ministry. They have to be so good. They have to be entertaining, informative, great communicators, charismatic. They have to be all these things to check off all these boxes because that's what people expect. Yeah. What's crazy is I remember one time I was during the pandemic, everybody went online. And so we were, you know, like trying to see how we could improve our online experience, you know, and stuff like that. And I remember one time I said something to Pastor Josh and he was like, well, you know, if our goal is to reach the unlost, then they don't know what to expect when they come to church. And so sometimes when people would complain or say something, Pastor would know whether that was a church person or an unchurched person.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the people who would complain about either the worship or the speaker or, hey, how come Pastor Freddie's not on stage every Sunday? A new person, a new believer doesn't know to expect that.
Right.
A new believer doesn't know that, hey, on this Sunday, it's just acoustic because that's all we have. And on this other Sunday, we got a full band because everybody was able to be there. And a new church person does not know whether what level of children's ministry needs to exist. They have no point of reference.
Right, right.
And so if your focus is to reach the lost, then the expectation on amenities provided for them are a lot lower. And that should take the pressure off a lot of pastors. But again, if you're trying to grow and if you're trying to, you know, make the economics of it work to make sure everybody's safe and everybody's good, then yes, I understand the temptation and struggle with wanting to offer and provide everything that a churchgoer needs.
But I mean, I think it's on the individual a little bit. One, the whole system, I think, needs to be challenged and changed and try to figure it out. And I know pastors out there are trying. I get it. But at the end of the day, though, like, yeah, don't go to church. Gather.
Right.
So I think one, the individual believer, if you're seeking, like you got to be like, okay, I think I want to follow the ways of Jesus. I know at the end of the day, I can't do that by myself. So for all of you guys out there that are like, man, it's my own thing, my own journey. Like, bro, read some scripture. That's not even, you can't grow by yourself. You can't.
Right.
That's ridiculous, dude. That's like, that's a whole like, I only pull myself up on my own bootstraps. I'm self-made. I'm like that's not true, dude.
Yeah, man.
Like, so anyway, so if that's you, you have to figure that out. And then you do have to search out, man, where's a group of people that are gathering that have that same ethos as I do? And find them and look at, you're gonna try some and it's not gonna work out. You're gonna search. But what I want to encourage people, like, don't stop.
Yeah. Well, Tommy, what about the people that, like, for example, because I'm sure that a lot of our, you know, urban leaders are getting these questions and are getting these these hypothetical questions, like, hey, you know what? I get my worship from, like, you know, Elevation Worship, like their stuff is amazing. So like they take me in. So I just need to watch them. And then I get to watch this other mega church pastor from this other ministry and I get fed by him, you know, X, Y, Z. So like, I feel replenished. I feel encouraged. I feel strengthened. I don't see the need to come to my local church community when my pastor doesn't preach that way, or I don't know who's going to be on stage that Sunday, and worship for sure is not at the caliber or level of quality as these other mega church ministries are. Like, what do you say to those people who say, hey, it's available for me online. Let me just buffet style it, right?
Yeah.
Pick a little bit from here, a little bit from here, a little bit from here so I can consume.
Yeah, man. I mean, for me, I'm like that it's the, because it's so consumer, that stuff never gets played out in real life. So you never get challenged relationally. So it's like me, like, but look, man, I watch all these boxing videos on YouTube. I read a book about boxing. I watch Creed 1, 2, and 3. It's coming, right? Yeah. So you consume all this boxing material, but you never box. Like, you got to physically be in a ring with somebody, like trading blows, taking what you learn, and you learn from that piece. So, yeah, the supplemental stuff, there's no problem with that.
Right.
Go listen to whoever. That's what's so great about this day and age. Like, you can find stuff on whatever. Anyway, like, there's so much out there. It's beautiful. But if you're not actually playing that out in real life with other people, and I'm journeying in that, you're not actually really walking
right
with Christ. Like, you've got to actually take what you've learned and grown in and consumed, and you got to actually put it into practice. Sure. You can't do that outside of being involved in the world in relationship with people, because then you're full of crap. Here's what blows my mind, though, is that you could do all that and get paid a lot of money and be an expert, and you really don't know what you're talking about.
Yep.
I mean, that's the day and age we live in. And shoot, I know a lot of pastors and quote-unquote leaders that they read a lot about something and they wrote a book on it, but they don't act, they're not practitioners.
No, yeah.
And so all of a sudden, and that's that whole system again, where it's like, well, but I've spoken about it enough and I have some talent in speaking,
they know it.
But it's like, but you're not a leader.
Yeah, they know so, it. There was, I saw on Twitter the other day, I saw a survey. They surveyed, I think they surveyed maybe about 400 worship leaders across the country. And they asked them, you know, if at times they struggle with singing songs they don't believe currently.
Yeah.
And man, a good number, I want to say it was over 60%, said that it was easy for them to sing songs they didn't themselves believe in.
Oh, yeah.
And we can professionalize and be good.
Yeah.
At doing, you know, and I use air quotes if you're listening to me on you know, audio podcast, you know, I'm using air, like, we're good at doing church, right? And Jesus warned against those things. He said, like, they worship me, right? They worship me with their lips, but their hearts
are far from me.
Far from me. And that, and we could be playing ourselves, man. We could be playing ourselves thinking like, hey, I got it good with Jesus. I hit my Bible app every single day and look at the verse of the day. I do, you know, I do my Devo. I watch X Preacher on YouTube. I listen to the Radical Middle podcast with Tommy and Freddie, and I get my worship from, you know, Hillsong or whoever is trending right now. Like, I'm good. And we could be tricking ourselves. We could be playing ourselves, thinking we've got it good. And bro, like, Jesus warned even to the professionals that on that day they would say, hey, in your name, we healed the sick. In your name, we cast out demons. And he'll say, depart from me.
I never knew you.
Bro, that's scary.
Yeah, that's a relational piece, man. And if the church is the body of Christ... All right, so check this out.
Come on.
The church is the body of Christ, then, and if at the end Jesus goes, I never knew you, what is he saying? If the two greatest commandments are love God and love others, be deep in relationship here and deep in relationship here, but you're going, no, I'm deep in relationship here, you're full of crap if you're not deep here. And so if I'm not walking, gathering, engaging here, I'm never challenged to really be like, hey, man, that's not who you're created to be. Hey, man. That's not what Jesus is calling us to. Hey, man, like, wrestling with that stuff, and that cures us of all of our, like, self-righteousness. It cures us of our ignorance. It cures us of this sense of, like, I'm better than, you know what I mean?
Right,
or,
right.
Like, oh, I got it all. Or, like, it helps because, man, it's humbling walking with people and going, I got that wrong. Asking people to forgive you, growing through that. Like, those are like the punches, and that's you in the ring, like, figuring it out, going, oh, okay, this is how you actually join in and jump in. Right. And dude, just imagine though, like, a world like that or a church like that, that it's people that have been through that, that have actual experience in that. Like, people, like, it brings us a sense of humility and a sense of healing when you run into somebody who's actually lived out the ways of Jesus.
Mm.
And then they invite you in on, they go, let me teach you, like, this is what it was like for me. Now I'm a witness because I'm all messed up, and I helped you because you're all messed up. And that's the church that everybody's like, you know, against. They're like, oh man, these Christians and da da da. And, you know, well, I'm like, well, okay, front yourself. Like, how are you not going to be like that?
Right.
And what people are doing is they're like just isolating and being like, oh man, I'm on my own spiritual journey. And I'm going, but you can't do it by yourself. So I'm saying, like, do you want to skip the service? Okay. But do the work to think through it and go, but where am I gathering with the body of Christ, being challenged, being, you know, like, that space, like, that's where we need to contend for.
For sure.
But yeah, dude, I get it. If you're like, man, you know, I feel like all this is fake or da-da-da. Like, I was on that 20, 25 years ago, struggling with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but I'm committed to the body of Christ.
For sure.
And that, the body has been really good to me. Other believers fronting me, you know, encouraging me, caring for me, loving me, like all those kind of things. And I've been able to give back as well. But yeah, dude, the whole system is, I think it's messed up.
I love that you brought up the fact, you know, when they asked Jesus about the greatest commandment, and there's a duality to it, right?
Yeah.
It's loving here and then loving, you know, my fellow man. I love like when the story in Acts where Saul is persecuting the church, Jesus appears to him on the way to Damascus,
yep.
and he falls off the horse. Jesus tells him, hey, why are you persecuting me? You know, like he wasn't persecuting Jesus. He's persecuting his church. But to Jesus, it was one and the same.
Right, right.
And so I have such a love for the church because Jesus died for her. He bled for her. He was crucified for her. And he'll one day come back for her.
Yeah.
Right? So like that is the community I want to be a part of.
Right.
There is no me and Jesus if I'm not the church.
Right.
And so, man, as you know, as we do this podcast, like our goal is not to persecute the church. Our goal is to call the church to where it needs to be because we love it. We both have a love
for
the church and the people of God in all of its forms. And I know that both you and I don't agree with all of the forms 100%, but we know that that is also part of the beauty is the diversity, right? In expression and in belief and in action, et cetera. I have a question for you, bro. Like for Urban Youth Workers Institute, you guys have so many leaders scattered across the country in urban spaces doing the work of the church. And I want to know when these people, like these leaders, these urban leaders, as they feel a tug to like church plant, do you ever look at them and say, hey, like church planting is not for you. You're already doing the work of the church. You're already doing evangelism. You're already doing shepherding. You're already prophetically or your apostleship or you're already teaching. Yeah. How do you navigate that where people think that the only way they could serve God is if they become clergy and open up a church building?
Oh gosh, dude. I mean, I think really deeply about all that because I think, one, God's a creative God. So in the beginning, it says, in the beginning, Elohim, which means strong creator. So he's creative. He's a creator. So I think there's a lot of different ways that he can create and create things. You know what I mean? So I think there's so many different views of that. What I would encourage leaders to do is widen your understanding of the body of Christ. Like so often it's this like really like, okay, so it's Sundays and Wednesdays and we got to do it like this and you got to do it like that. Ultimately, what Jesus called us to is to disciple.
Hmm.
So in what ways are you allowing, are you traveling in your journey with Jesus and then inviting people in on that? I think there are things where it's like you are gifted to and called into these certain roles at certain times. But I think it's the paradigm and the structure of it that chokes us out a little bit sometimes.
Wow.
Other times I think the structure and the paradigm is a grace because you're kind of going, I know I'm called to this, but I don't know what to do. So it is helpful if somebody just goes, okay, here's what you do. First step is this. Second, you know, I get it. But I would really challenge us and just go, I mean, spend the time to think through, what does this really look like? What can I learn from history? And what is God calling us to in the future? Because I think there's so many different possibilities.
Yeah.
I also think it's hard though, too, to be real honest, like at Solidarity, at this nonprofit I ran for a long time, like kids were coming to Jesus. We were baptizing them. We basically had church, but it wasn't fulfilling everything that the church, the body of Christ functioned as. And so we were always looking for churches to partner with us and we could never find one that fit the paradigm. So this question, actually, I'm like, I know that there's leaders out there that are figuring some of this stuff out. And I'm like, dude, well, how can we learn from you? Because it was really hard. And it messed with a lot of things. Like, like, for instance, like our, it was in a Latino context. And so you had these like young Latino kids that are like, hey dude, like, okay, I've come to Christ. I love what, and they're like, all right, where should I know I'm supposed to be part of a church. So I'd send them to like the Spanish speaking church that we invited into one of the neighborhoods or whatever. But then the Spanish speaking church would be like real legalistic.
Yeah.
And so like, I can't rock with that. I'm like, okay, I get it. I'd be like, what about this church over here? And it'd be like kind of big white mega church. And they're like, I have a hard time connecting
right.
relationally there.
Right.
Okay. Cause it's a relational thing. So
right.
it makes, so I go, okay, cool. And so then we were the only ones, but we're trying to run a whole like nonprofit, make sure that they're holistically cared for. And I'm like, and now I got to be your pastor. And there was weird expectations of that. Like Tommy, like, you got to, they wanted to be more like me, to be more like their Spanish speaking pastor, which was like always on them.
Yeah.
And like shaming them to show yeah. up and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, why aren't you showing up? Like it was, it was really hard and we didn't do it very well.
Yeah. So are you saying that some people just out of necessity for the people that they're caring for? Cause I mean, that must be hard if you are running a nonprofit and you're working with young people or just people that aren't believers, aren't disciples of Christ yet. And so you want them to plug into a local community, but then all the local communities around that neighborhood are either legalistic or just completely off the rails, you know, in their theology or their expression of following Jesus. So, I mean, are you saying like there's just some cases it's just out of necessity? I mean,
yeah. I'm like, hey, let's be creative and create all different sorts of expressions of the church.
Okay. So in that sense, though, that nonprofit leader, that organization leader doesn't need to get a church building then to be the church, right? To have church and have a local church expression and community for those people he's leading. Does he need a worship team? Does he need kids facilities? Does he need all these amenities? Does he need coffee and donuts in a cafe? What are the bare minimums that anyone who has that tug in necessity? Because if you find yourself around a bunch of non-believers that are like, hey, I want to know about Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. God's probably calling you to shepherd them.
Yeah.
So what are the bare essentials before somebody goes and gets a loan and gets in debt, you know, signs a 3-year lease for a building they won't be able to sustain? What are the bare essentials that someone needs to say, hey, this is the gathering. This is a church community.
I mean, this is just me. So you need to teach them scripture. So facts. The word of God, however that looks. And then you need to have ways for them to live out that scripture. And then, so you're on mission, right? But in the nonprofit world, you're already doing that. So that's an easy one.
So you just invite them into what's
you invite happening. Them into, you know, the discipleship part is then you're there to help them become who they were created to be. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. This is why I actually think discipleship is genius, because you can only do it with a few people because it's so intensive. And so that's my issue with the whole paradigm and the system is like, we're not thinking on a small level. We're thinking like big.
Yeah.
How do I get my church to 10,000?
Yeah.
You can't disciple 10,000 people.
Yeah.
You can gather 10,000, you can entertain 10,000 people. We do that all the time. But to make it small enough to where you're gathering in these groups of people where you could walk with them, it's labor intensive and it's inefficient. And that's the space for that. I think then the last part of it, which I've always struggled with, is then the worship part of it, is that you expose the truth of God. You invite them in what God's doing as a part of their sanctification process. And then out of that, your gratitude, you worship God for how good he is. I think that could look at so many different ways,
yeah.
But that's basically it.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. No, this is good, man. I think we're going to have more conversations about this specific topic. Like, and we've had other ones you guys have listened and heard and watched, you know, we have had a conversation about how to leave a church, when to leave a church. Yeah. We've had a conversation about how to ask your leaders to leave your church well, you know, we need to have those conversations as well. But it's good, man, that we're answering this question, like, do I need to go to church? And the definite answer here is you need to be the church.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you need to be the church. So, I mean, I love it, Tommy. Like, man, I think the prayer that we have for everyone listening to this that feels detached is that God would lead you back and back to Him first. And usually that happens in the context of community.
Right. I mean, like, find that group of people that are like, dude, I'm trying to get deeper with Jesus. Like, who wants to do this with me? And be courageous and put in the work to that. I think it's worth it. But it's also painful.
Yeah.
It's painful because you're changing your paradigm. And for those of you who are deconstructing and all that, that's part of it. But at some point, you got to reconstruct. Like, you got to then challenge yourself and go, okay, well, then what is it? Go back to scripture and be like, well, what is the bare minimum of the church? And then what am I going to do about that?
Yeah.
Because if Jesus is number one for you, then you're going to figure that out. Yeah. You're going to go and you're going to search for other people that have that same desire. But if you're just trying to, you know, make sure that the institution stays alive, like, I have no interest in that. Mm. Like, and that's why I think a lot of people leave it at that. And they're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
And I also think, man, you're missing out. There's more here. But, and that's where I challenge people. I'm like, hey, you got to press through that. And I get it.
For sure.
You
know,
we can walk with people through that, but sure. It's hard.
Man, I love it. As Proverbs says, you know, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. That means you got to connect, and there's friction in that. There's tension in that. And that's good, man. It's just like being in community is messy sometimes. And I think that's good. And we want to sharpen you. So we're glad that you're listening, you're watching, wherever you are. We're so grateful for you. Please, please, if you're on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. Leave us a comment and let us know, like, where are you in this phase? Like, what do you think? Is the church essential for your faith and your growth? Like, we start the conversation here at the Radical Middle. We want you to continue it. So please leave a rating and a review and let us know what you think about this episode. Until next time, catch you later.